This is one of those gospel stories that we find in all three of the synoptic gospels. And what I find interesting as we find them is that in Mark, the oldest gospel, it starts off as this man came to Jesus. And then in Matthew, we get this little description. He was a young man. By the time Luke writes his gospel, he's a ruler. Which kind of, I think, reinforces how we humans haven't really changed, that we continue to exaggerate stories and add to them and build them up and make them a little bit more interesting the more we tell them. But this is a gospel that I think many times, at least for me, I read it and I get this twinge of guilt. Because I am, especially if you look at the whole world, relatively wealthy. I do have a lot of possessions, and I'll be very honest, I'm not ready to give them up. I'm really not. So I can imagine that if Jesus was here and said these words to me as he does today, I too am a little shocked and a little appalled and not sure what to do with them. And I think one of the interesting things about this gospel story is we never really know what this man did. Said he went away grieving or sorrowful. I mean, was he sorrowful because he liked these things and was going to sell them? Was he sorrowful because he couldn't do it? I mean, we don't know what happened to him. It leaves a lot to the imagination and a lot to what we're called to do as Christians. One of my mentors and very dear friend, many times he reminds me, that having wealth does not make one a sinner. And he goes on with the corollary, being poor doesn't make one a saint. And his point of his message is it's not about things and about our status on the economic scale. What it is about our relationship with things, and more importantly, our relationship with people. That, I think, is what this gospel is about. I think that is what we're called to think about today as we hear these words of Jesus in this teaching about how we relate not only to our things, but to people, not only those that are very close-knit to us and our families and our churches, but people throughout the world. Now, if you start flipping the channels on TV almost any time, you can find preachers. And we used to joke in the seminary that we're kind of the dumb ones. Because there's some of these guys have no formal education. And they're making a lot more money than I'll ever make as a preacher. Making a lot more money than this church has. A lot more money than probably the diocese has. I mean, my favorite, because he's my homeboy, Joel Osteen from Texas. You know, that boy can smile. And what he will tell you is that you are blessed because of your possessions. That is how you are blessed. The more blessed you are, the more you have. And he even has the book, The Blessed Life. But again, as we know, these are only material things, and they come and they go. Blessed has become the shorthand for the prosperity preachers. And Osteen, again, once told, I think he was on Oprah, said that Jesus died that we may have an abundant life. And he doesn't talk about life in the fullness, but he talks about all the things that we get. But the question that really hit me this week as I was praying and trying to prepare what to say is what made this man who says, I've kept all the commandments since I was young, what made him come up to Jesus and say, what do I have to do? Now I know, and I don't think I'm unique, But I know that with all the fronts that I can put on, when something's not right, something inside is bugging me. And I think that's what's going on with this man, is he knows that something is missing in his life, and he's trying to figure out what it is. And I think that's why many of us are here this morning. Why many of us come, because we're looking for a little bit more. We're looking for something to make us a little bit more whole, to fulfill our lives in a way which we haven't yet experienced. And the questions that keep coming up to me are, how much are we willing to invest in this relationship with Jesus? I mean, the reality is, it would probably be very irresponsible if we were to go sell everything and just give it away. Give the money away. We have people that we need to care for. We have families. And so, in many ways, I think the words of my friend Jude, being rich doesn't make you a sinner. Being poor doesn't make you a saint. Ring true. And the question is, what is our relationship with things and with people? In Jesus' time, much like the prosperity preachers, it seemed that if you were living a good life, you were blessed. And you were the wealthy people, the poor people, there was something wrong with them. The sick people, I mean, they were even asked the question about the blind young man. Why is he blind? Is it the sin of his or the sin of his parents? There was something wrong. And nobody takes in the fact that it's just human condition. Our psalm today, I think, is a reminder that it's the same prayer that we hear on Good Friday. It's the prayer that Jesus prays as he's on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? And yet, he continues to put his trust in God the Father. And that is what we're called to do. To continue to trust in God wherever God leads us. Remembering the words of Jesus. And this is the good news of this gospel. For with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. That is what Jesus is reminding us. It's not with the big house or the big car. It's with God, all things are possible. And I have a glimmer of hope because I think in some ways we're starting to get this. I think the pendulum is starting to swing back a little. I think of the big trend about small houses and how people realize we don't need 5,000, 6,000 foot mega mansions. We just need living space to be warm and comfortable. That is what Jesus is calling us to. It's a sense, if you will, about getting our priorities in order, about getting our relationships in order. And I got to go to my favorite philosopher, Jimmy Buffett. And he's got this great song, Overkill. And one of the verses goes, out in Hollywood, the paper money rolls. They feed their egos instead of their souls. A million here, a million there, a mindless corporate dance. I got to do some paraphrasing here. Get paid for doing nothing in the south of France. They don't do the shows, but they act like stars. They fly around in G4s and suck on big cigars. It ain't about the talent. It ain't about the skill. It's all about the silly, stupid deal. And I think for many of us, sometimes it does become about the deal. One of my dearest friends, who has more than he will ever be able to use, just keeps working and working and working because his famous line is, I want to make sure my boys are taken care of when I'm gone. And I just always want to say, and I have said it, which has caused a little tension, is what about just being with them now? You're so busy worried about their future, you're missing out on everything now. And I think that is what Jesus is saying to this man. All these possessions don't matter. They're nice. I love them. They're nice. But the bottom line comes to, what is our relationship with Jesus? What is our relationship, and where are we able to put trust in God, the God who makes all things possible? I believe, in my simple theology, that what's that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the carpenter's son, apart from the rest of us, that he was so totally able to trust in God's will and God's plan and God the Father. And I think we all try to. I think the bottom of our heart, we all want to. But for many of us, and I speak for myself certainly here, we get sometimes to that point where I just can't take that next step. I'm just not ready to make that commitment yet. And we back off a little. And the other beauty of this gospel, the other thing that I just love when I read this gospel, besides all things are possible with God, is when this man comes and asks Jesus this question, Jesus looks at him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, here's how you do it. My friends, that is what Jesus is saying to us today with love. Trust me. Trust me. Follow me. He says, you give all this up, you're going to get it again, but with persecution. Jesus never promises the easy road. But this journey goes on and on. And so we come here this morning to be fed. Because to go on a journey like this, we need strength, we need nourishment, and we're fed in the Eucharist. We're fed with our love of one another. We're fed with the Word. And we go out into the world. We go out into the world knowing that our God is with us, that our God loves us, and that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen.